141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we hit the midweek point in an unusually quiet midweek with no games across Scottish football. We can't say that too often, but still plenty of big stories doing the rounds. What about St Mirren and Aberdeen? It looks like Stephen Robinson is about to swap one for the other and become the new Don's boss, potentially leaving St Mirren months after winning the League Cup. As for the rest of Scottish football, taking a bit of a quiet day off perhaps, the dust settling after a very, very busy weekend across the cup competitions, and then on we go to see what impact, if any, it has on the title race. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have, it's that Partick Thistle duo again of Tony Watt and Alex Ray. Both well, both still, you want me to dedicate these 2 hours to that penalty you got against you the other night?
Oh God, I don't think 2 hours would suffice.
That's the power.
I'm still feeling. But anyway, listen, I think the big talking point today is Stephen Robinson. It's I think it's out of left field. I thought they were going to go in a different direction, and ultimately they've gone for a guy that's had really good success at St Mirren. Obviously they won the League Cup this year. I think it's 3 top 6s, and then obviously into another semi-final. So I think they needed someone at the helm. I think they're rudderless at the moment, and it makes sense to me.
He's dodged that. You want to have a wee pop at the penalty?
What can I say without
an old politician there?
What can I say without
getting yourself? I don't get banned. I don't want that in my conscience. Do you feel aggrieved?
Absolutely. I don't know the rules. I saw on Twitter the rules after, and if they're the rules, it's not a penalty. I think we've done enough to be very competitive in the game. I think the manager and Al had a game plan all week, and we were undone by a goal, and it was one of them that. I genuinely don't think it's a penalty, but I'm not the referee, so look, people make mistakes.
You've sucked me in like nobody's business.
He's taking his jack off.
Just as well, Tony's between you and I, but all week I've been submitting, and I said the other day that if I actually said what I wanted to say, I would get sin-died.
I don't do that. It can't be banned for the running.
No, this is no banned for the running. This is not a 2 or 4 or 8 gamer. This is sin-died if I said what I wanted
to say. It's not a pain,
listen, I feel aggrieved, and listen, we've made that known. So listen, we kind of go back and replay it now. And
it must have been bad, because even Mr. Composure, the gaffer, lost his cool.
He still had his composure when he answered the questions. Oh, and do you know what he never done?
But it was that wee passive aggressive.
Do you know
one
what he never done in the changing room? And I'm not saying
do you know what I mean?
The passive aggressive.
That wee like, I'm pretend I'm calm, okay, but I'm underneath him.
Do you know what? And I'm not saying this to get a game on Friday. He genuinely never mentioned it in his team talk. He said, I'm proud of the boys, proud of how they've played. Look at what the fans have stayed back and clapped his foot. So, look. We're no sore losers. It happens. We're out the cup and we focus on the league.
See, because it is the cup, so it kind of, to state the obvious, it either goes one way or the other. You go through or you go out. Do you still manage to take the same sort of encouragement and positives from the performance?
Yep. I think so. I think we didn't create enough in the top end of the pitch in the first half, and I think that was mentioned at half time. And I thought the boys were brilliant. We emphasised if we can get a goal back, that we could probably cause them a bit of anxiety towards the end of the game, and they pushed and probed, and unfortunately we just didn't come our way. And it would have been great, because it's been a really good season for our cup exploits. You know, that's 2 quarterfinals of the League Cup and the Scottish Cup. But I think you take the positive from that, and then you refocus all that energy into the remaining 9 games.
0141 951 1025, if you want to pick up the phone tonight. Maybe there are some Partick Thistle fans out there that want to speak to the guys. And I didn't quite, you never know, that's the beauty of this live radio. You wake up in the morning, you don't always know what the story's going to be come 6 o'clock. Didn't necessarily expect it to be Stephen Robinson heading to Aberdeen a few months ago, perhaps. But what's going on there? Fans of both clubs, step up to the plate. I know the way you feel. You probably reckon every night on this show, Rangers, Celtic, whatever order fans dominate proceedings. I feel like you're the biggest story in town today. So St Mirren fans, how are you feeling about that? Is it a brilliant job well done, thank you so much for your service and we wish you well? Or other times where that's just difficult and you're always annoyed to see a manager leave, and it's an important time for the club as you're trying to stay in the division, and hopefully get back to maybe even another cup final, having won it a couple of months ago. How are you feeling about it? And then Aberdeen fans, very interested in your thoughts as well, because there's like two questions here. Is Stephen Robinson the man for you? And why was he not the man for you a few months ago when Jimmy Tilleen left? So pick up the phone, please, on 01419511025. Maybe ever so slowly the emotion is starting to drop off from Ibrox on Sunday. Maybe you're looking at things with a calmer head now about what it means going forward. So we'd love to take those thoughts as well from both sides of you on 01419511025. And anything else, title race, cup competitions, you name it, we're here for you until 8 o'clock. So pick up that phone. You lot brought up the rear, if you like. You finished it off, the cup. It was quite the weekend, wasn't it, across the board, with headlines obviously drawn to Ibrox in many ways.
Yeah, obviously that will get the main headline, Gordon. But I have to say, pleased for Neil Lennon getting Dunfermline to a semi-final as well. It's good for someone to champion the championship, if you like. And I think Falkirk have continued to do what they're doing. And, you know, I think we're obviously leading up to these games at the weekend as well. And it's, you know, it's back to the bread and butter after the cup exploit. So, as I said, I think it's good for the clubs to get to that far. You know, it's a great opportunity for Dunfermline to potentially get to a final as well, because you look at Falkirk and I think, right, okay, it could have been worse in terms of the draw. They could have got Celtic. So, a very interesting weekend.
Yeah, I watched the Falkirk game to kick it off at the start of the weekend on Friday night. I thought Falkirk were excellent. They absolutely dominated the first half and then maybe sat back a little bit, but that's what happens in football. Dundee United get into the game, but Falkirk were well worth their lead and well worth their inclusion in Hampden. Dunfermline, they dominated from start to finish against Aberdeen. It was an absolute masterclass. The big striker was good. Is it Ollie Thomas?
Aye.
He was brilliant. He came on against us, done all right, caused a couple of problems. Supposedly done really well against Ross County last week, and then in the cup game he steps up and he was brilliant. To do that to Aberdeen, it shows the championship and what quality is in it. We've noticed that this season. There's been a few good teams this year. We obviously feel that we've been one of them. And then Celtic and Rangers game again. It was how Rangers never progressed in that game is beyond me. Obviously we had the game at night, so I saw the first, the 90 minutes and the first half extra time, and I thought Celtic defended well. I thought the four best players in the park were the two sets of centre halves.
You never said that after the game with me. That mobber gave me dogs abuse after the game. It was brilliant. I walked in to get the pre-match, I get dogs abuse.
What was it? How many people do you think shouted, "All right, Al"?
About 10 at the same time. Painful.
I mean, 120 minutes won't live long in the memory, Alex. But it was. It feels like such a big day. Now, obviously, we know the kind of fallout as well on the pitch afterwards. But in terms of like the football outcome, because we knew the jeopardy was there. What does it mean for the losing side? What does that do to the prospects of finishing the season trophyless? Does it have any impact on the title race? All that sort of stuff. So that was a big week.
Yeah, without doubt. Listen, we've seen Rangers go on a decent run over Danny Rowe's tenure. The back-to-back disappointments for the Rangers fans, for the players, for the management team at Rangers, is really how they react in the coming weeks, Gordon. As I said, they are capable of going on a run. However, it's what the mental kind of shrapnel that they've picked up along the way, because they've dominated a half like I've never seen for a long time in the league game. Yep. Celtic dominated the second half. They were very much territorial on the front foot at the weekend. However, again, they just didn't pose enough questions.
Right, keep your calls coming if you fancy any of that stuff. But what about you, St Mirren and Aberdeen fans? That is the top story today. It's the biggest breaking news in Scottish football. So very keen to hear how you're feeling about it, St Mirren fans. How disappointed are you? Is it a case of just thanking Stephen Robinson, wishing him well? Do you understand? Is this the way these things work? Or had you hoped that he would hang around until the end of the season? And you Aberdeen fans, it does feel split into two. Are you happy with the impending appointment of Stephen Robinson? That's the first part. And then, how did it get to this? Why was it not him a few weeks ago? What does that say about the way things are at the moment? And so on. Please do pick up that phone, 01419511025. Barry is going to lead us off though, by the looks of things. Hi Barry.
Hi, Hello guys, good evening, thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure, what have you got for us?
I've got 2 points. The first point is, I think the manner in which Celtic won the cup game, I think it's going to give Celtic quite a bit of momentum now. They didn't play particularly well, but I just think the spirit they showed right till the end, the togetherness of the penalties, and the penalties were taken fantastically, by the way. I just think that was going to give them a bit of more belief now and take them to, I think they'll win the title now. I think they'll give them a bit more momentum.
So you think that's the bit that does it, Barry? Because, I mean, I'm sure even you would admit that was not a good performance. You know, not a performance that would excite you. But you think just that, you know, that progression is enough to give you a spur on?
I think so. I think under Martin O'Neill, he seems to be getting a lot of these players, a lot of, they go right to the end. They've played 4 away games in such a short space of time, and he just seems to get the best of them and grind things out. And I think maybe Hearts could drop points. There's going to be there's a lot to play for, but I just think that's going to be a bit of a boost for Celtic in the running.
What do you think? It's the bit that you can never measure. You never know. But we did say it before, and I remember I was interested in the way Hugh put it on Friday, where he felt that if somebody was narrowly goes through, he didn't really think it would have much difference, which clearly it couldn't have been narrower. But if one team, you know, battered the other, maybe that would. Do you buy the theory that this kind of spurs Celtic on?
On you go, mate.
Well, it's interesting what you say there, because I think Rangers battered Celtic at points, but Celtic go through, and I think that damages Rangers more. I think Rangers, I don't know what they're lacking, but it's as if they're lacking just a little bit in the final third to create chances. I think now the league's Hearts, if they want it. They go and beat Kilmarnock on Saturday, away from home, which is a tough game, obviously, on AstroTurf. I think Celtic would need to be flawless from now to the end of the season, and I don't know if that's possible with the potential injury of Callum McGregor, the potential injury of Tierney. I think they two have probably held a lot of it together when the times are a bit tough and they've been nicking results, and I'd probably go as far as to say Tierney's been probably Celtic's best player this season, even though he gets a lot of stick. I think it's something like 17 goal contributions for left back. But I think Hearts are the team that's shown the best mentality. Hearts get beat off Rangers, probably comfortably at Ibrox, and then they've come back and done what I think. Two wins back to back, which I think in that time, Rangers have dropped 4 points. So Hearts for me have shown the most steel. I think Celtic probably going to be their biggest challengers in terms of people that have been there and done that, and then Rangers' form. But Rangers just don't seem to have that clinical edge for me. There's just something that they're very good defensively. I loved how composed the big boy Fernandez was at the weekend. I thought he was brilliant. I thought, like I said, 2 sets of centre-halves were. But I think Rangers just lacks something in the final third to really put up a challenge, and it showed on Sunday.
Yeah, what do you think? Because Tony said that at times, you know, Rangers battered Celtic, and I know what he means, but they also didn't, if that makes sense. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah, they the territory, Gordon, yeah. A lot of the game, they had the ball, they were in the playing in their half. Celtic were comfortable to defend in a low block, and I think Rangers will be reeling from this, and again, it's how they react. Now, going back to the Barry, the caller. I said a couple of Sundays ago after Celtic lost to Hibs, first caller come on, he went, league's done. That's all Celtic out. I think I've said nonsense. And I just get the feeling that the three teams will drop points along the way. And clearly, this is obvious. It'll be the team that obviously shows that little bit of consistency through this piece, and how they deal with the head-to-heads as well will be crucial.
So where are you in Barry's theory that this is a proper psychological boost?
No, I think Celtic, particularly with the injuries you've got, because I think if you strip it back, I think there's 5 or 6 starters for Celtic who are currently on the treatment table. So I think they'll need 1 or 2 of them back.
Also, we've not done an update recently, but people have started mentioning all the injured players recently, which is valid, but I think it's not like any of them are coming back, apart from the two that
dropped out,
McGregor and Tierney.
No, so they will try and get them back as quickly as possible. I think they're pivotal. I think Tierney scored a couple of games back-to-back, which is massive for a left back, because it's showing that determination, the driving for my fullback to try and get up and score goals. And then I was surprised there when Tony says 17 assists are kind of
goal.
So that's really impressive, because there's been question marks over Tierney in terms of being able to play the 90 minutes over a course of several games, but he's shown a willingness to get forward. I think Callum McGregor's, I've said this for years on this show, that Callum McGregor is pivotal to what they do, because it really is the linchpin in the middle of the park to drive that team forward, and he knows what it's all about. You know, the people talk about the course and distance, this guy does. I think Hearts are in a very, very good position, because they don't lose a lot of games. And I think I've just seen the other news, Celtic are playing Motherwell at the weekend as well. So there's going to be twists and turns, because I feel as if a lot of teams can take points off of each other.
Barry, so there was no part of the performance level that concerned you then and dented your belief?
The performance level could be a lot better, yes. I didn't think they played particularly well against Rangers. So they've got to up the performance, definitely. Yeah. I've got one more point, if you don't mind.
Let's quickly then, if you can, we're a wee bit pushed for time, but you crack on.
See, what it is, it's just a quick touch on all the aftermath of the Old Firm. And I think a lot of it stems to your education, what you're taught at home. My dad was Catholic, come from a Catholic family. Mum a Protestant. And we support Celtic because of my father and grandfather taking us to games, talking about Lisbon Lions, the centenary teams. But there was no hatred for the opposing fans. My father or grandfather never put any of that into us, and I think that's where it stems from. It's education and how you're raised, and because these fans that do that, they've no thought for anybody else, the club, other fans. That guy last night, I felt so bad for him. James, it was 47, and his daughter.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that call was quite hard to listen to, actually, wasn't it? You kind of thinking, if you are a parent and you've got kids going to the game and whatever, there's listening to the way Barry's putting it, there's a wide ranging problem there. If you're talking about cultural differences and the way people are educated and raised, I mean that's probably above our level of understanding, and also not a quick fix either. I think probably what we need now is something more akin to a quick fix. How do you change behaviours overnight? How do you change that sort of thing? I think what we need is the sort of, how does this fixture get managed going forward?
I think that's a good point.
You know, and what's for the next one? You know, and then what's for the start of the next season? What does that look like? Because how do you change the mindset and behaviour of tens of thousands of people? That seems impossible.
Yeah.
Well, imply rules maybe.
But that's what I'm saying. That we're talking about actual, like,
no fans on the pitch for me for a start. There's been a few times we've won a league, or at Dundee United we finished fourth, I think it was, and fans coming on to celebrate it, but just let the players have their time, have their moment, because you'll celebrate with people in the stands. The amount of times there's been an announcement when somebody's won the league saying, please stay in your seats, don't get on this. It's not safe. It's not safe for players, obviously fans, and now their families, their kids. I just think it should be a place for footballers on the pitch, and the fans should stay in the stands, and you can celebrate from the stands to the pitch and the pitch to the stands.
I mean, so much been said about it this week already. You just wonder. I assume that Celtic, and I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt here, because I saw they got a bit of stick from high-ranking police officials today, asking where are your statements? Where is your condemnation of this? Again, if there is slack to be cut, maybe it's because they're trying really hard to comb over everything, make sure everything's in order, and then show their position. But maybe we should have heard something by now.
I think that is valid, Gordon, and I think you make a good point there in terms of you're trying to get all the evidence and things before you make a statement, because if you did that after 24 hours, you'd be going, really?
No. You do wonder if you can say something, though. And then elaborate at a later date.
More will follow. No, I get that. And somebody said to me the day he would like to see both Rangers and Celtic do a joint statement. No, genuinely, someone said that to me.
One of your players?
No. I was talking to someone earlier on today, and he was making the point that
both of them
hadn't made a statement.
That
can you imagine?
The worst idea ever.
Think so?
I don't think so, Tony.
Imagine Celtic and Rangers fans saying, "How are they in bed together?"
That would be social suicide.
This is what underpins a lot of this.
Police Scotland and say Police Scotland has spoke to both of them and said this is our stand on it. But for Celtic and Rangers, imagine that comes out on Twitter. Celtic via way Rangers, Rangers with Celtic. I think
a collab on Instagram.
Celtic have invited you.
who invites who?
No, I think they both should speak out and say, look, give us a week. We're going to look over everything. The scenes were unacceptable. We're not blaming anybody yet. We will look through everything with the right authorities, whatever, and we'll
make that statement.
Barry, thank you very much. 01419511025. Get your calls in. I'm still looking for you, St Mirren and Aberdeen fans. Give us your thoughts and we'll speak to you next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Alex Ray are here at 01419511025. Get those calls in. Send us a tweet as well at Clyde SSB. See if it was really quiet tonight. Do you know what was going to just... No, it's not our business, but I thought it would be interesting anyway. A debate about whether you should sub your goalie after 17 minutes. Come on, give me your thoughts.
I'm for it.
Not if it's a good group.
No. Listen, by the way, it's interesting because I'm going to give you a couple of scenarios.
Okay.
So there's been he was emotional and the whole bit and so forth. I'm going to give you a couple of scenarios. 30 yards for goals at Millwall. We just arrived a couple of months. Tried to take someone on, messing about on the ball. Boy dispossesses me. Rifles it in the bottom corner. Literally 50 seconds later, the boards are up. Off you come.
You're a midfielder.
How long in the game?
You can't.
22 minutes or something, 23 minutes. Gavin Swankey, when we were playing Dundee versus St Johnston, when Dell was the manager at St Johnston, took him off after 25 minutes.
You did?
Yeah, took him. And by the way, Swankey was a good one of your better players.
Is that different from seeing a tactical tweak that you need versus.
Yes, and I'm going to give you another one. This is the best for last. I was sitting at Falkirk when I was 18 and I need to watch what I'm saying because obviously it's a live show. The manager put a boy on 70 minutes. 6 minutes later, took him off, right? We get in after the game and we obviously lost the game and the heads were all down and the manager's coming in and he's ranting and raving and he looks to the boy and went, whoever signed you should get sacked. And the player put his head up for the ground and went, you effing signed us. And the whole dressing room erupted.
I'm not having it because
didn't even console him in the way off.
No, but that's a thing. I've had managers who have put me in the office and said, by the way, I won't shoot your hands coming off because there's 18 reasons why I shouldn't. Graham Alexander was one. Won't do it. And I think Robinson might be another one on the subject. But anyway, he's made a statement. He's seen the keeper for 3-4 weeks. He's made a statement by dropping Vicario. So deal with it. See if a guy makes mistakes. You've made a mistake, so just keep him on to half time and say, wee man, you've got a cap.
But there's a lot at stake there, Tony, as well. You know, you're trying to salvage it. I know it was with the 2-0 at the time.
Coming back. Three. You're not coming
back. That's right, because he only made two mistakes.
And by the way, Spurs have been rotten for weeks, so he's the least of your problems. See if it was a team like Man City who are
How does it differ for a keeper as a centre forward that's not getting any confidence?
Because that's no fair.
What about a striker that misses numerous goals, Tony?
But that's what I'm saying. But you wouldn't do that
after Mr. Watt, off you
whatever, 17 minutes.
I think it's shocking, baby. And by the way, like I said, if it's Man City and Pep and they're doing well every week, the keeper goes in, he has a stinker and they're doing bad and it means something, by all means take him off. Spurs are horrendous. Keep him on. Tudor, out you go.
There you go. I just thought about it because it's one of those ones that who cares? No. People will be tuning in saying, why are you talking about Spurs? But I just thought that's a
Gordon.
All football fans were interested in that last night.
The thing is, genuinely, because at that particular time when I got hooked, I was livid. Or genuinely, I was livid, and I'm thinking, but this manager's this.
Who was the manager?
Bruce Rioch. And I actually come back up the road for a couple of days, thinking to myself, I'm feeling sorry for myself, and blah blah blah. But you have to go back. You have to dust yourself down, and then you have to go and try and.
That's when you improve your character.
Well, that's it. It's all about character.
Can that boy's character ever recover?
Of course it can.
Not. What's he on 50 grand a week, guy?
Tony, those guys losing their job every day, man. I agree, zero contract.
Zero oil's contracts.
And then there's a guy going 50 large a week.
See, that's the thing. We actually need to take into consideration, like, You're playing the Champions League and you've conceded three goals and you've made a mistake and you've been took off. You're going home to your family. Nothing's up. Just get the head up and accept being number two then.
You change your mind now, eh?
No, I think it's poor form, but it. Wake up this morning, have a wee silk, and the more I get back to work. I've had it as well. I get put on in 39 minutes when I was at Standard Liège.
No, please don't tell me you get hooked.
So somebody get injured, right? I get put on. I had the sub. I get put on at 39 minutes. Played the 6 minutes. Half time had came. Somebody gets sent off.
No chance.
50, half time?
52. No, 52 minutes.
Oh, dear.
I swear. It's one of them, you're that angry that you don't know whether to cry or explode.
Did the manager console you at the side?
No. So after the game, I was fuming, and he did say, like, ah, it's unfair, but do you know what made it worse? See, after the 52 minutes, he's obviously made the sub and, you're going to laugh, he's made the sub and went more defensive. 20 minutes later, he puts an off striker on.
I think that's different. I think that's, you had to kind of make a recalculation. I think that's a wee bit different.
If he puts an off striker on after,
I changed his mind later. Anyway, 01419511025. Forgive me, we got very distracted there by something that doesn't usually concern us. But anyway, get your calls in, whether it is fallout from the weekend. Very keen on that big news today. You know, some things, kind of, you expect them. That caught me unaware today. You know, there was Andrew and Gabs are reporters in here. Somebody texted and said Stephen Robinson going to Aberdeen. It just, the timing of it. So get your thoughts in there. Dell is on in Bells Hill. How's it going, Del?
Not bad, mate, not bad. Yourselves?
Not bad. Del. What are you thinking, Del?
What it was, it's mainly to go with the SFA. They're turning around and saying it's Rangers and Celtic's fault.
Have they?
Has the SFA not turned around and said that they wanted Rangers to give Celtic the full stand?
Just quickly, when did they say it was Celtic and Rangers' fault?
I seen it on an article.
I don't think so.
And they were trying to get Rangers to give Celtic the Cortland stand, or the Broomlin.
Oh, listen, they would have played a role in the initial ticket allocation for sure, but they don't. In fact, because they were the first ones to issue a statement, weren't they, after the game, and it was short. It just condemned the scenes. It said they would launch an investigation in line with the judicial panel protocol, which the judicial panels, who'll get in touch with you too if you say too much about that.
Absolutely, yeah, no, that compliance officer.
So, and as far as I'm aware, unless something's happened in the last half an hour, that was the last communication they offered. So I don't think they are blaming Celtic and
blaming
Rangers.
Anyone.
But what we're going to find here is there is going to be a big joint. There has to be a joint up investigation, because I noticed the police obviously spoke the other day. They want more from the clubs. Police have spoken again today saying they want a statement from the clubs. Scottish FA are involved, both clubs, police, and by the time this next fixture comes around, the SPFL will be involved when it comes to ticket allocations for the game at Celtic Park. So the kind of notion that one of these bodies is the kind of sole responsibility, that was too much of a mess for it to be down to one thing, you would imagine.
Oh, yeah, I agree, Gordon. And as I said earlier on, I feel as if both clubs will be trying to kind of get as much information before they put that their findings out and how they see events unfold at the weekend. And I would suspect that both clubs will be severely censured by the SFA. And and again, what does that look like going forward? Does that mean that the allocation will be reduced again? You know, there's been a clamour for years to get back to the original allocation. I've always said it's going to be very difficult due to the fact that I think there'll be more season tickets sold in the Broomlin, for example.
It's also a different conversation, isn't it? Because the 7,000 was there because it was the cup. So that's not the debate for the next one.
Also, if Celtic and Rangers not got a gentleman's agreement that if it comes to Celtic Park, the same allocation or percentage will be given.
I wonder what that agreement will look like now.
That's now going to have a little bit of a problem.
But see, also on that could be, I mean, it could be next season, but it could be 10 seasons. You know, they don't have many cup ties against each other prior to the
semis. Have we not been doing
semis?
A trial for alcohol as well this season in the Championship? Has there not been
various clubs?
Yeah, we've had that.
There's a lot of repercussions in terms of stuff.
Is there, though? Right, should the ability to serve alcohol at Forfar against Clyde be impacted by what happened at the weekend?
Why
should that be?
Scottish football, rightly or wrongly, needs to appease the bigger clubs. That's all, how it's always been. No, if Celtic, see, Rangers don't get alcohol, but you get alcohol at
No, because see the notion of that, let's be honest, I don't know for sure, but see these alcohol trials, I don't know if that would ever be on the cards at a Rangers-Celtic game anyway. This is surely about actually figuring out that distinction.
No, but that's my that's my thing. They're trying to figure it out, but that at the weekend is going to take it five steps back.
That's what I'm saying. Does it? Why? What does Clyde against Forfar's alcohol sales have to do with what happened on Sunday?
Because Celtic and Rangers will both be looking at alcohol and thinking, how much money could I make off alcohol at these games?
But I don't think it's geared. I don't think this is geared to that fixture.
So was that? So maybe correct me if I'm wrong. Was that trial? Would they not then push that onto the top league, the Premiership?
But again, the serving it at Falkirk against Livy is different from serving it.
Maybe Celtic would
Celtic.
Get it at every game other than Rangers, and Rangers get it every game other than Celtic. But the only thing is, then can you trust it at Celtic Hearts if they're going for a title? Can you trust it at?
That's what I mean. That there's so many more fixtures across Scotland than that. We've got 42 teams in the SPFL.
You know
what
Celtic and Rangers are like? They've always look after number one.
No, because put it this way, see when they were trialling it. They're only trialling it at Celtic Rangers games.
No,
it's not about that.
I know, but
I think you're looking at this wrong. It's not that could only come into force if the big clubs were allowed it as well. I don't think that's what it's about. No. You're never going to get it at that fixture.
So you think
it'll
never be at the fixtures? That makes sense, to be fair.
It's a long road off, certainly is now.
I think they were obviously just trialling at the low levels, Gordon, and it seems as if it went pretty well. So, as I said, because of the weekend, I wouldn't expect that to hamper that going forward, because I think that will still be rolling out and they might do it in a more regular occurrence.
Anne is on the other line. Thank you to Dale. How are you, Anne?
Hi, nice to speak to you.
And you, Anne. What are you thinking of?
I've always wanted to say this, but technically I've been a long-term listener and I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, welcome to the show,
Anne. You've got the punchline in there. What are you thinking? What made you call for the first time then?
Well, that's the point. I would normally never phone the phone in. Love listening to it, but I feel compelled to following Sunday's game. I was at the game. I'm a season ticket holder at Rangers. I sit in the West enclosure within the wheelchair section. And what I witnessed from grown adults was appalling. And I would say that that's on both sides. I'm not going to be entirely one-sided either way. But what I would say is, from the off, there was an atmosphere coming from the Broomland that was antagonistic from the off. And it was palpable. I had absolutely every sympathy last night for the caller who had brought his son to the game, because a friend of mine who regularly takes her son to the match every time that we're there, he is a boy with Down syndrome who's in a wheelchair. He is the absolute atmosphere of a fan. That boy turns up hours before the game. He is all about being in the fan zone. He is such a breath of fresh air, yet an adult threw a bottle of Buckfast and nearly missed his head.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
kind of behaviour from grown adults. I am asking, as I'm trying to leave, it was frightening trying to leave, but I'm looking up at grown adults going, and this is when you win, really? And I'm saying to Rangers fans behind me who are trying to then get on to the pitch, could you stop? Leave it. It is not worth it. Because the minute we step on that pitch, we are equally culpable.
Yeah, I think that's a really... Anne's probably summed it up quite fairly, hasn't she? We're going around in circles all week, let's be honest, about, you know, who does what first and then...
Who reacts.
And then what that allows you to do as a justification. So, I don't think we'll ever get that. That's the kind of definition of a vicious cycle. We've done this all week, this notion that Celtic fans celebrated first and therefore Rangers fans reacted. What does that mean? Does that mean that any reaction is appropriate? Shouldn't celebrate on the pitch in the first place? So this is the bit that, this is where I think, because we've not heard from the clubs, what ownership of what are they going to take? You see stories like Anne talking about being in wheelchair sections, people who have various difficulties in life but still want to go to the game and have glass bottles flying past them. The guy who phoned in last night admitting he'll never go back as a Rangers fan because his daughter almost got hit and he starts thinking about going to a game and coming home without his daughter or whatever. This is the stuff that's got to cut through a little bit. I know some people are beyond help. is it, and says we're talking about grown adults here. Yeah. You watch it back and you can like cringe. Like, you wonder if these people could have an outer body experience and watch themselves.
Yeah.
Would they be embarrassed? You'd like to think so, but then you'll never have that luxury.
I'm not sure whether they'll feel embarrassed or not, Gordon. I can't really speak for them. However, I take Anne's point on board. And when you're going to a game, you have to factor in things as well in terms of safety of other people. And I think the culpability of both sets of fans, because you could start here and finish there, and then you go back there and there, and then ultimately no one takes responsibility for the scenes we've seen at the weekend, and then nothing changes. So then we maybe get another X amount of years down the line, and this raises its ugly head. So what I'm saying is, Gordon, and the thing is, we have a product this year. We have a product that's brilliant. It's been the best it's been for a long, long time, and we now have 3-4 teams chasing down a title. It's changing on a weekly basis. We're getting a lot of coverage. You go back to the Old Firm game a couple of weeks ago, it was over 1 million viewers watching it, which is incredible numbers, you know what I mean? And if we're going to try and sell this product, the last thing you want is what we've seen at the weekend.
Thank you very much to Anne on the line. Anne, will you call us back another time now that you've done it for the first time?
Yeah, go on, Anne.
I absolutely will, but I think really personal responsibility needs to be taken, and it should really start with Police Scotland. Their statement was beyond a joke.
I went and did one of the interviews with the Police Scotland at the other day, and I noticed it's the one thing the fans did seem to agree on. Like, fans on sort of both sides didn't quite agree that the policing operation was adequate. I tried to like acknowledge that it's probably not something that we're too qualified on as such, but you, as a layman, as a football fan, as somebody who's been, it did kind of feel like sort of like, where are they, why are there not more, and there'll be resources and reasons for that. I don't know how you ever get each party, and that includes police, to sort of hold hands up and say we could have done this better, we could have done that better. That's what you hope comes out in the wash from any sort of investigation.
Yeah, I think they're obviously doing their own investigation. You hope that they will maybe look at their operations and say we can do something better. You know, there's times and over the years, you know, that the things have gone relatively well in relation to what happened at the weekend. And you just don't want to see it. So you want everybody to get their ducks in a row, Gordon, and so that can be avoided.
Because I saw one of the high-ranking police officers today. Forgive me, I can't remember
Joe
the gentleman's
Farrow,
name. No, that's the female. It was Alan Spears, I think. It doesn't actually matter, the guy's name. But he said, like, oh, if it had got any worse, we would have brought the horses on.
Yeah.
And so, to me, I don't know enough about it. I'm thinking, well, it seems pretty bad. Like, was it not at the stage yet where you do that? But again, not... People say, listen, I struggle to read out Beat the Pundit questions, never mind be qualified to lecture the police. But you know what it's like, because just because what you've seen before, what you expect, can you get that line in quickly?
And
can they descend?
Do you think that stops it all, just a line in the middle?
Where, and I don't know how much you'll hear publicly about this, but because there seem to be a lot of police elsewhere, so were they in the right areas? That, genuinely, I don't know, but I don't know if you ever get a full sort of explanation of that. Maybe people need to behave themselves first.
Yeah, well, listen, I think the police will obviously look at that, Gordon, because obviously it stems the final whistle. That's where the majority of people are. But maybe they thought there was going to be a swell of people outside. So, again, you have to get that proportion correct.
I know what you're thinking. Everybody's just been desperate to hear Alex Ray and Tony Watt's thoughts on the intricacies of policing operations for large-scale sporting events.
I've had a few dealings with
him. Do you think people just behave themselves and it stops everything? That would maybe be the smartest thing, but we're in Scotland, aren't we?
That's a lot to ask. Anyway, right, before we move on, if you're feeling low about everything, all the negativity, this would soon cheer you up. Clyde One. £600,000 would do it, eh? £600,000 this Friday the 13th. Text YES to 61025. Text are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll find all the rules for this network competition. Or you can call 03434 269340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday. Somebody wins the lot. £600,000. Text YES to 61025. Good luck.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here at 0141 951 1025. These two are just raging that penalty they didn't get has been wiped off the this could have been the big, that could have been the biggest talking point of the week. No, he's just been pushed down.
I know, I'm devastated.
Just
right.
Crushed.
Yeah, I know.
Unbelievable. There's still time if you fancy it. Let's look at one of the big stories developing today. Stephen Robinson about to, we believe, leave St Mirren for Aberdeen. I think we can actually do both sides of it. Let's go Sam from the Misery Hunters St Mirren podcast, who's on. Sam, what was the reaction when you heard that today? Did it catch you by surprise?
Aye, it was a real shocker, to be honest. I think everything from Aberdeen over the last, I mean, ever since they sacked Keelan, I think they pretty publicly chased Hornerland, but then had Stefan Schwartz sitting next to Lutz Farensteel last week, so you kind of assume that it's going to be one of the two that takes the job. So for them to go after Stephen Robinson today was a bit of a shocker. And it comes a couple of days after, you know, you're looking at Robinson's press conference after the Thistle game, talking about the need to bring in other defender because of the kind of crisis we've got injury wise. It's kind of, it really took me by surprise. I don't know what to think.
So you thought you were over the risk, obviously, of him going to Aberdeen. Like, clearly that would have been on your mind maybe when Jimmy Tilling left, but you thought you were safe, if that makes sense.
To an extent, aye. And I think the reason I've maybe thought they wouldn't go is, I mean, they've had so many chances to do it over the last few years. I think they've obviously sacked maybe two or three managers in the time when Robinson's been really successful with us at St Mirren. So I was just really shocked that, I mean, I'm really shocked that, one, they've been knocked back by two managers, and then that their options just to kind of look closer to home. It totally unsettles us. But
where would that leave you, Sam? You know, see, we're obviously saying if you weren't expecting it, and I would imagine the club weren't expecting it either. Where would that leave you managerially?
I don't know. I think obviously Craig McLeish is going to come in. He'll be in interim charge for the game at the weekend. But in terms of a replacement, I don't know how well prepared the club are for this. I think when Jim Goodman left, a lot of the names that were branded about were like kind of Kevin Thompson, Scott Brown. I think there was another couple at the time mentioned, Stephen Naismith as well. And Robinson came out the blue. So I don't know if we've got a kind of similar contingency plan for something like this happened. Listen, like, think how well he's done. He's always been linked with jobs. He's always been linked whenever Hearts, Hibs or Aberdeen are vacant, or if there's maybe some jobs down south. I think it's been like Plymouth and Cardiff in the summer he was linked with as well. I'm hoping that the board have kind of prepared for every eventuality, but it's so hard. I mean, it's caught everybody by surprise.
Does this worry you, Sam? And is it very much a thank you and wish you well because of how successful he's been, or is there still that wee bit of kind of annoyance that kicks in when somebody leaves you as a football fan?
The timing's not great, but listen, he's my favourite St Mirren manager of all time by a considerable distance. Like, I'm 27, so in my lifetime I've only seen a handful of really good managers, but the connection he had with the fans and the connection that he's obviously built up then with the players and the fans, etc., bringing us the cup, taking us to Europe for the first time in my lifetime, like, it's been special. But I think in the cold light of day, the timing is not great, but it doesn't really sever anything for me. I think everyone will be able to look back in a year's time and be really grateful for what he's done.
It doesn't worry you too much about survival ultimately in the Premiership?
Ask me, and you need to ask me again in a couple of weeks.
Interesting to get the St Mirren side of it. Tony was moaning, and you said in the office that there was a St Mirren podcaster said that you did rude things with your grip socks.
Yep,
the other night, but it wasn't Sam, was it?
No, it came up on
you
my
sure?
For
Sam,
You page.
Was that you?
I don't think it was me.
I don't think it was me.
Definitely your podcast.
Yeah, it was.
Was that podcast?
Yeah, I think there could be an apology for Misery Hunters to Play Essentials coming soon. I think it was
because the socks are no for that.
No, the socks. Maybe me. Maybe you could say bad things about me, but the socks. It was hurtful. No, it's. I agree.
The quality of them.
I agree with Sam totally. I think Stephen Robinson's been an amazing manager for St Mirren. I obviously had him at Motherwell, and people think he's a long ball merchant. Stephen Robinson changed to a three at the back when he went to St Mirren. He tried 4-3-3 a couple of times and it didn't work. And he felt, and I spoke to him about this, that in this league, to get the best chance with a team with a lower budget, you need to be big, strong, physical, and he's done everything for them in terms of three top sixes in a row. They've been to Hampden now. What, this will be their third trip to Hampden. I don't think St Mirren fans, I think St Mirren fans can let the form this season. You can tell by the tone of the tweets today that they'll allow a bit of leeway for the league position because of what he's brought them this year. They would have took finishing 10th and winning the League Cup.
Oh, thanks, Sam from Misery Hunters podcast, who personally did not make those allegations about Tony Watt, but someone else did. I want to quickly, oh, we're running late for this. Let's try and get the Aberdeen perspective as well. Kyle is on the line. Kyle, this is interesting from an Aberdeen perspective. Where do you sit on it?
I feel like it's just been completely rushed now because of the situation we're in. Like, if there was a plan in place when Thielen gets sacked, I don't think any of this would have happened, because obviously the situation we're in, we were really close to the relegation playoffs. Now they're like, we need to get a manager in to just basically save us now.
Mm-hmm. So just maybe stating the obvious, just spurred on by the cup exit, this notion that the kind of season's over, there's a bit of crisis creeping in, you think there's a bit of a panic going on?
Oh, definitely. Even from Leaven's interview after the cup exit, he's basically said, we are in a relegation battle, which is like, that's got to be just alarming bells to like Cormac Fanshawe, saying, right, yeah, we need to get somebody in now.
Where are you then on, so is Stephen Robinson the man for you to be the next manager? And what do you make of the timing of that? Is that a different answer now than it would have been the day that Jimmy Tilleen left a couple of months ago?
I'm 50-50 on it, because like, he has done a brilliant job for St Mirren. Like, especially, it's no disrespect to St Mirren, but on like the lower budget they have, getting top six finishes, winning the cup. If you said, obviously before like the run, they've been on a terrible run, they would have been a great manager, but Aberdeen fans will say, oh, we don't want them because they're lower than us in the league. But you say that, they're not even that far behind us because of our situation.
There's so many questions surrounding Aberdeen on that. Like, why now? Why not then? He's been right under your nose. What does this say about Lutz Fahnensteel and the continental contacts versus, do you need that? Is it not his appointment? Has Dave Cormack panicked? There's a relationship there with Alan Burrows. There's a lot of questions that people will ask about that. So thank you to Kyle for kicking us off on the Aberdeen perspective. I'd like to hear more though. What do you think on some of those issues? Get your calls in whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The most enthusiastic Beat the Pundit player anywhere is Tony Watt, so it might be him, but it might be Alex Ray, who's not as enthusiastic. 01419511025, and the lines close at 7.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Alex Ray are here. It's 01419511025. A bit of everything on the go tonight. Still fallout from the weekend, of course. Looking at the biggest story that's developed today is a Stephen Robinson, probably, is that a safe word at the moment? I think it possibly is, off to Aberdeen. And anything else that you think we've missed, pick up that phone. Partick Thistle fans, they would be delighted to take your thoughts as well, I am sure. Alex Raven had his tracksuit top on, but he took it off in frustration when asked him about the penalty he didn't get. Sorry, he got against you the other night. So get the calls in and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Looking forward to this. Tony Watt, it's not true what they say about him and his socks and what he does with them, but it is true that he loves Beat the Pundit. So let's see how we get on. They both won their last outing, they're both in good form, so one of them will take on another Tony, who's from Renfrew. How's it going, Tony?
How you doing, Gordon?
Who's your team?
St Mirren.
Oh, good, I'll have a word with you in a minute, but let's play this first. If it's the blue side of the coin, it'll be your namesake, Tony Watt. Aim to call you Anthony.
My mum.
Just your mum.
My dad. And potentially my sisters.
What do you mean potentially?
No, I can't remember.
You can't remember?
Can't remember.
I don't want to open wounds, just not speak to them that often though.
No, I do, but I just can't remember. Definitely my mum calls me Anthony. It is,
well, Anthony is it, right, okay.
So,
there you go. Anyway, glad I asked that. Just thought, just key information. Tony against Tony, perhaps, or will it be Alex Ray? It is the red side. It's Alex Ray. Oh,
that was the worst.
You nearly swore there.
That was the worst throw I've ever seen.
Do not sink to Gordon Dalziel's level. That's the sort of stuff he does.
What's it with the toss?
Moans about the tossing technique and all this nonsense.
It was over your shoulder.
I know, I nearly dropped it, but that's beside. I'm glad it didn't hit me in the head. It weighs about 2 kilo, this coin. So let's get it going with Tony against Alex. We'll give Alex something else to listen to. Tony, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. And if you want to pass, that's absolutely fine. Okay?
Cool.
Right, thank let's you. Go. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who's the only Mexican international in the Celtic squad?
Araujo.
Former Rangers boss Philippe Clement manages which English team?
Norwich City.
How many goals did Spurs concede last night in the Champions League?
4.
Which manager won Premiership Manager of the Month for February?
Martin O'Neill.
Which club links Ian Durant, Christopher Ayer and Kevin Kyle?
Pass.
Who's the current top scorer in the Scottish Championship?
Martin O'Neill.
Say it again, sorry.
Did you say Championship?
Yes.
I'll just stick with Shank. Well, Nero plays in the Championship. I don't know.
That's a hard question. I'm a bit annoyed that these two Championship employees are involved, but let's go for it. Alex Ray, can you hear us?
Yes.
Same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who's the only Mexican international in the Celtic squad?
Araujo.
Former Rangers boss Philippe Clement manages which English
Norwich.
Team? How many goals did Spurs concede in the Champions League last
5.
Night? Which manager won Premiership Manager of the Month for February?
Ask who.
Which club links Ian Durant, Christopher Ayer and Kevin Kyle?
Rangers.
Who is the current top scorer in the Scottish Championship?
The Scottish Championship, McPake.
And how many Scottish Premiership clubs have a better goal difference than Celtic? Quick, don't look at that table.
1.
Tony, what do you think?
Made a hash of that last question, but
but he's in the Championship. He's bound to know that. I might strike that from his record, to be honest. When we get through it,
I cannot
do what I like. Let's go through them and find out the Mexican international in the Celtic squad. Julian Araujo is
in the wee man out there.
16. Sorry, you struggled to get the wee man out. Not like to do that. For God's sake. Tony got it as well, so you both got it, 1 each. 16 caps if you're keeping count. Your old pal, did you speak to him, Philippe Clement?
Occasionally over the course.
Happy
he's been
with
there.
The way it's going?
He's actually doing very well. Yeah, he's steered him clear of that relegation zone.
At Norwich, of course, incidentally. Tony got it as well, so it is 2 all. You undercut them a bit, Tony. It was 5 that Spurs conceded last night. Was it 3 by the time the goalie gets subbed?
Yeah.
Can't believe you're having that as being acceptable.
Oh, dear.
Where's your heart?
And I've no
honestly,
heart.
I know that. Honestly, poor
no,
boy.
No. I was actually the one with Wes Fotheringham with De Canio. I was at that game that day as well. That was brutal because he waved him without looking at him. And I think Big Wes, as he walked past at the halfway line, said a few chosen words.
And did he kick him? Is that something? I'm sure he kicked somebody up the backside. I'm sure he did.
No, that game. But honestly, that was one of the most brutalest things I witnessed at a game.
Okay.
Anyway. That was rough.
Which manager won Premiership Manager of the Month for February? Was Jens Bertel Askew. So you either lose your next game after you get awarded it, or it's the one that just comes before. So he lost at the weekend, but still had a brilliant record February and picked up the award yesterday. So Alex Rego's 4-2 in front. Both of you failed in this, and I think, you know, the one that threw you off, Ian Durant, Christopher Ayer and Kevin Kyle. Can it be Rangers if Christopher Ayer's in there?
It's no son. I'm trying to think of Kyler.
Brentford.
Did Ian Durant or Kevin Kyle play for Brentford? Kilmarnock. Christopher Ayer went
think
on loan.
Think about it.
Oh, I played centre mid, didn't he?
Went on loan, so it is Kilmarnock. Yeah, yeah. Good question. None of you got it. Yeah. This is the one that's coming off your record. You would know that Josh McPake is the top scorer in the Championship. Unfortunately, Tony couldn't dig that out. And 3 clubs have got a better goal difference than Celtic: Hearts, Rangers, and Motherwell. So, Tony, you started off well. You get 2 on the board, but Alex Ray got 5. Even if I take one off him, it's only a 4. It was not enough.
It's
hard lines.
5. A win's a win.
Apparently, you couldn't. The producers tell me you couldn't buy a win for ages, and you've now won 3 in a row.
Well, thank God they've actually cut up, because last week they says it's the first one I'd had in 2026. Talking about getting things right.
We'll VAR check to make sure it's accurate, right, Tony? Yeah. And anyway, on today of all days, the quiz is a sideshow. As I said, Mirren fan, that catch you off guard today?
It did. I see it on Facebook this morning. Forwarded it around a few friends and family, but wasn't expecting it. I don't know if he'll take them up on it.
Oh really? So you've still got sort of hopes that it won't happen?
He's stayed put before. He has had interest, obviously when Celtic had their, even Rangers, sorry. I think a couple of his name was in the hat for that, after Russell Martin. And he's obviously been, because he knows Scottish football, so I think his name's always in the equation even. Even if he was to go, I kind of thank him enough for what he's done for us with the top six finishes, getting Europe, albeit whenever. It was only four games, but it was still something. Then the League Cup this season, and potentially Scottish Cup being us in the semi-final against Celtic. So, I don't know who would replace him. That's my only issue if he was to go.
Yeah, I mean, the coming out the blue nature of it, I suppose, is what is catching the Cimmerian fans off guard. Yeah. We said earlier with the previous caller, you wonder what the, because I guess every club should have a level of, you know, succession planning. Stephen Robinson has done such a good job. You know, Keith Lasley, the people that run St Mirren, they would know that he'll attract attention at some point, just maybe not right now. Is right now, is it a difficult time to recruit a manager, as Aberdeen have shown? So you know, you then face your own challenges.
It could be a domino effect. I actually listened to Keith Lasley at a coaching course about his current role, and they seem to be very much on point, hence the reason why the club's in a good position. They're doing well. Obviously they're kind of struggling at the bottom of the table as such, but over the course of the last couple of years the club's been run brilliantly. Cup success, potential for more success, European football. So I would be surprised if they didn't have someone in mind, or a couple of candidates potential. But again, it's about timing. Can you get these guys out? I would imagine it'd be guys who have actually been doing okay. You tend to target the guys that are doing all right. So, yeah, that will be the difficulty for St Mirren as well.
Yeah, I think he's probably had his eyes on Robinson leaving since January, in terms of Alan Burrows, the CEO, Aberdeen, obviously. He's been overlooked. He's now just won a League Cup, so he's obviously hot property. I know the league form, like we said, isn't the best. I think St Mirren have been looking with kind of one eye on it to Robinson going, and I think they'll have somebody lined up for sure.
Are you worried about it, Tony?
I've got faith in the club. Obviously, if it's Aberdeen, is obviously kind of maybe his next bigger project. Managers come and go, you know, there's no one bigger than the club, but we just deal with it when it happens, you know. It's just one of the things in football.
I think it's the timing, Tony. I thought, you know, the timing of it all's, it's the last thing that St Mirren would probably want at the moment,
really,
and, you know, because it's what, 3 points to Killy, and then you've obviously got the split and so forth, so that kind of uncertainty would be an issue, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, quite some time scraping draws, even the likes of scraping draws against Livy and that. I think we're safe from the bottom spot, but I don't think we're safe from the playoff.
All right, thank you very much to Tony. Wasn't enough fun, beat the pundit, and now he's lost his manager as well. That's a tough Wednesday for Tony.
Well, he's still harbouring keeping him. He says,
"That's true." Actually, no. I was interested in that because and Tony's accurate, it doesn't always mean that it, you know, that it happens.
Is it done and dusted yet?
And I'm sure there are reasons for it. I always find it quite interesting when, like, it's publicly announced. You know, so did Aberdean issue the kind of statement saying we've been given permission to speak to Stephen Robinson? Because then if it doesn't materialise, are you then?
These deals can go wrong all the time. I think one of the interesting things for me from the outside looking in at this potentially happening is, will he be allowed his own men to come at his background? Because they've just employed, they've got Peter still in charge, they've got Tony Dock, and they've got this other fella as an assistant also. Okay, so okay. I don't know whether they're doing from week to week, month to month, or, you know, they just pay the guys up to the summer and get, because I would imagine they would want to bring his own backroom staff.
Yeah, thank you very much to Tony again on the line, 0141 951 1025. Who's next? Mark is in Hindland. How are you, Mark?
How we doing, boys? All right?
Good, Mark.
Mark, you an Aberdeen fan?
Yes, I've been on quite a few times.
So what's the verdict?
So, I think it's at the right time for the club. I know your support might not like it, but I think it's at the right time and it makes sense to where we are at the moment. Season's over. An embarrassing performance against Infirmin. Let's not make any qualms about that. And it's just been a catalogue of disaster after disaster after disaster performances. For the squad that we've got, we have got one of the strongest squads in the league with the talent in the squad as well. And it's embarrassing.
Mark, where's it gone wrong then? You're mentioning the level of player that you currently have. Where is it going wrong?
We've just been mismanaged, Alec. Is that Alec Ray?
Aye.
So we've just been mismanaged.
And what would you mean mismanaged? Upstairs, or the manager?
Okay. If you let me finish, Jimmy Tilleen came in and he went on that big run unbeaten run of games, and then it just capitulated. And the problem what we've got is he made 5 to 6 changes every game, whether we win, lose or draw. There is no structure or foundations in that. And the players are lost. You can see the players are lost because they don't know their job in the park. And I can't believe that I'm saying that for a squad that we've got. Do you know what I mean? I think if Stephen Robinson comes in, he can have a look at the squad to the end of the season, get rid of the deadwood who don't want to be there, bring in his own players, and we'll go again, get a good pre-season and go again. Because he's a good manager. I have seen him, and I think he played under Tony at Motherwell.
Yep.
And he was really good, and he's done exceptional at St Mirren. But if you come knocking, no disrespect, if Aberdeen come knocking for you, Aberdeen are a big club. Whether we're in the mire or no, whether we are rock bottom or not, we are still an attractive club. We're a big, big club with one of the biggest support. Because we took 4,000 supporters to East End Park and got a show and get embarrassed. Mm. We go everywhere. Do you know what I mean?
What's your reading of kind of how it got to this point, Mark? Where
I think Dave Cormack, as Willie Miller said today, Dave Cormack was hell bent in getting this guy Hornland, and that stalled. Now, if it was me, I would have went for Stephen Robinson straight away. Peter Leaven and Tony Dock are there on a game-to-game basis until Aberdeen get a manager, until we get a manager. That is their contract. They're not signed up long-term. Mm. They're only there as substitutes, as a stand-in, until Aberdeen Football Club and we get a manager, which has been a calamity as well. So I think Dave Cormack has got some kind of taking the blame.
Because where does this leave Lutz Fahnensteel? Look, he may be a big fan of Stephen Robinson, but you know, you've got that assumption that he was brought in, he gets the contacts book out, and you know, doesn't because you know, didn't go for Stephen Robinson a couple of months ago. So what does that say about the structure?
There's no structure in the club. We need somebody to come in and give us structure. We need somebody. That boy that is just after, say, that you're just after mentioning, he was at the Celtic game last week at Pittodrie in the stands watching.
No, I'm talking about your sporting director that you've got currently.
Sporting director that was in the dugout, yep. And all that kind of stuff. With Peter Leaven, I don't know. The whole club is no ran right at all.
Okay.
It's far, far too dysfunctional. Hopefully we get Stephen Robinson, if it is Stephen Robinson, because we need a bit of stability.
Yep, fair enough. Thank you very much to Mark on the line. Keep the calls coming, but we've opened a opened the box here. You want to see the number of St Mirren and Aberdeen fans that are battering down these phone lines. So that's fine. 01419511025. If you want to talk about something else, you can do. But it was about this to take us on to the next section.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
We're delighted to have teamed up all this week. We did some last week as well with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. It kicks off tonight across Glasgow City Centre. We're giving away tickets and meals to some of the festival's best shows. We've got a very special guest in the show tonight, comedian, host of the Some Laugh podcast, Mark Jennings, and he is going to be joining us very soon. And of course, we're going to give you a nice prize away by the end of the show. So stay tuned for that, but keep your calls coming and all the football as well. We'll speak next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here still, 0141 951 1025, to join us on the phones. But I did say before the break that we are building up to the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. I suppose the build-up's complete, really. It starts tonight. Lots to look forward to across the city in the coming weeks. And we're delighted to be joined by Mark Jennings on the show, who is performing where and when?
I'm doing the King's Theatre next Friday.
What they'll need to do is see if we turn Mark's mic on first.
That would be handy, aye. That usually helps with comedy, no? I'm doing the King's Theatre next Friday, 20th of March.
Did you just, by the way, just a point for close watchers to the show earlier in the week, did you see that? Did you see how I don't control the volume on Mark's mic? I poof people on Twitter.
Might want to learn
about that, but anyway, not that I'm bitter. You looking forward to it?
Aye, and it's a buzz to be on here. This is the first time I've ever been on Super Scoreboard when I've been shouting down the phone at Hook Evans. So
if you give a fake name when you phone
him. Mark for Clyde Bang, actually. Yeah, so just up the road.
I recognise that voice. How much does the Kings hold, Alex was asking you?
1,700.
Brilliant. Is that daunting? Is that exciting?
No, it's exciting because the weird thing with comedy is the more people in the audience, the easier it is, because obviously when you're trying to, you know, there's a pub with 20 people or something like that, you know, if half of them are only laughing,
stuff trouble. Yeah, like intimate ones are the hardest ones.
Exactly.
It's like when you play at the wee stadiums, you can really hear the personalised shouts.
I love the ones.
Did you like that better?
Oh, yeah. I see the ones, because the thing is, you don't hear nothing in the big stadiums, but see when you hear the wee... You're talking about somebody gives you, you got a bit of heckling.
Yeah.
You must be able to have just come back with a baseball bat. I would love that ability just to come back and just clamp somebody.
You're a pantomime villain. You must get that all the time.
So recently it's not been anything other than Tony Watt, your socks up bleep, which obviously means you're
well,
good.
Well, that guy accused you of doing stuff with your socks earlier.
So at the moment Elgin was that, St Mirren was that, and it's actually quite refreshing because it's not Tony Watt, you're...
Right, it's just your socks. Do you ever get any when you had the chickens?
I've been getting it this year. Tony Watt, your chickens are deed, which is
that's
hurtful.
Fine. You can.
It's hurtful.
Is it still?
It hurts a wee bit. They're up there looking down on me.
Mark, this is obviously a bit of football, bit of comedy. Who's your team? Is that well known? I think it is.
I'm a Celtic fan.
You weren't on the pitch celebrating or anything?
I got a good selfie with Vanchana, actually. Right. So it was well worth it for me.
Do you realise that that's an entirely humourless topic? That by the
way, I've seen all the talk and all that sort of stuff. I think the thing is, like, Martin O'Neill made a good point the other night, because I think obviously when these things happen, people get a bit too serious. At the end of the day, let's see with the Celtic Rangers games, I think it is better when there is more away fans in. So I know there's been a lot of trouble, but I think if they can sort it out and try and get it, because the atmosphere is better when this kind of thing happens. But it's a shame because at the start of the game as well, they were literally almost singing after the same hymn sheet when they were doing some of the best, weren't they? So maybe that can be the joint statement they'll put out, Alex, that you're saying
sing
earlier
it.
On. Just the
sing
lyrics to some of the best.
I don't know if that'll catch on.
No. Listen, you carry on with your comedy, mate.
I was worried about the punchline there, actually, just to see how much trouble we were going to get in. Let's go sincere football chat for a minute. There's a comedy sketch in Celtic season this year, surely. You haven't seen this madness coming.
Well, it has been a tough season for Celtic, obviously. When I look at the kind of hopes for winning the title, it's nothing on the pitch. It's really looking at the dugout and seeing Martin O'Neill and Fozzie and Maloney in there. They're the ones, and actually the only ones kind of player wise that you look at the now that could dig us out of it, weren't they playing the likes of McGregor and Tierney at the weekend? So the fact we got through that was a minor miracle on
could they keep
on Sunday.
Could they keep Martin O'Neill?
I don't think so. I think you've got to get
if he wins it.
He gets his 75th birthday next season.
Aye. Well, what was Roy? down in London.
He doesn't want to be breaking up scraps at the end of Old Firm games at 75. I think he's probably a bit old.
I tell you what they should do, if Martin O'Neill does win the league, they should put a statue up him, right? Just like put that next to Jock Stein. Because honestly, I think like beating that Jamestown Analytics with a smob that Celtic have got in this season would be as good an achievement as beating Inter Milan with 10 guys from Glasgow and one guy from
Solcoats. Listen, I don't care how funny he is. We're not having this Celtic being an underdog. I can't get my head around that. See, as fans of wee teams, yes. I'm not having this notion that Celtic are Rangers, if they win the league this season, some sort of underdog story.
I think it is now, because I mean, it's almost like Celtic have tried to go, let's just see how stripped back we can make the team and still compete. Because, you know, let's just see what happens if we don't have a striker for the whole season, and you know, we just let the manager resign and then we get some guy in for a laugh for a month for America and all that. So,
what's the gist of, without giving it away, you want people to come and watch you, what's the gist of the show? Any football humour in there? Just stay away from that stuff.
I've got a few wee jokes about football and stuff like that. Talk about a couple of wee things about Scotland, obviously with the World Cup coming up and stuff like that. But I kind of cover everything. Just I like to talk about stuff that's going on in the news and culture and a wee bit of my own life and something for everybody.
Are you going over the World Cup?
I'm not. It's a bit too expensive. I would need to delete too many tweets, you know. So I don't think I'll get a visa. But
can we get actual evidence of somebody who gets rejected on the basis of the tweets that they've sent? That is madness. Because that's the thing, isn't it? They're going to look at people's social media.
But it is good because obviously it's just nice to see a new generation of players get the chance to score an own goal against Brazil.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm just wondering who it's going to be. Well,
hopefully we're not out by that point.
if that's
the bit that kills it in the last game, that could be a bit of a low point. You've done the Edinburgh Fringe, of course, as well.
Aye.
I take it you've done Glasgow, the comedy festival before. How does it all kind of compare? What's the similarities, differences?
Well, the nice thing about doing Glasgow is that you're known in Edinburgh. So the Glasgow audiences are brilliant, obviously. And I was saying to Alex just before we came on air, I'd done the King's Theatre a couple of years ago and I filmed my first special there, actually. So it's an incredible room. It's like for such a big room, it is quite intimate as well, like the way the acoustics and that stuff. So it's a cracking room to see comedy and to do it as well.
Because we've been giving away these tickets for a while to various shows, and it's a great prize. You've got more tonight where you get the tickets to a show, but you also get your dinner and a couple of drinks as well.
Lovely.
So it's a good night
out.
And last week we advertised one, and Gordon DL said that's my birthday. And of course, you know, you get a piece at anybody's door within minutes. One of the organisers messaged me and said, "Listen, tell him I'll give him two tickets and the dinner as well, since it's his birthday. All you have to do is give me his email address." So I phoned him today and I said, "Look, before I pass this on, are you seriously going to go?
Of course he's gone."
So he went, "Yeah, right." So I sent the email address on. See, within about an hour, he's phoned me back. "I've just been sent two tickets to this show.
Where's the dinner?"
I said, "That's fine." He went, "What about the dinner?" I said, "Well, I don't think there's anything physically to send you. Just relax." Did they say they would sort my dinner? I said, "Your dinner will be taken." But honestly, how ungrateful is he?
He's honestly hilarious. It's embarrassing, isn't it?
He's hilarious.
He's letting the show down, actually, with that stuff.
I'm not going if it's just the show. Honestly, shameful behaviour. And by the way, you can still talk football with us, although we're reaching the end of the show. 141 951 1025. Asked you if you'd some football stuff in there. What's the kind of the gist of the show apart from that?
As I say, I just talk a wee bit, obviously a lot going on in the news at the moment, so all that kind of stuff. And as I say, just stuff about my own life, just observational stuff for the most part. So as I say, I like to think something for everybody.
Mark, can I ask you something? Do you actually have a wee bit of a dig at punters and try and encourage that kind of, so you can baseball bat them?
Do you encourage heckles?
But you know, sometimes
I'm not like you on the pitch, Alan.
No, not at all. It's not my game, by the way. But you know, sometimes you see comedians and they'll have an
Is that a different part of comedy now, though, right? So, see, even at like the top level or whatever,
Jimmy Carr, that kind of guy.
See those bits that you see and that interact. Is that separate? Is that deliberate now? Is that part of the sort of act that never used to be there, trying to get those viral clips where you're.
It was always there, because what happens when you go to a comedy club is the compere or the host will come out and they'll chat to the audience, ask where you're from and how long he's been together, that type of thing. And what happens now that comedians film everything like we do here, and you put the clips out online, is that you put that stuff out because then you're not burning your material and your jokes.
Right.
So obviously you don't want people to know your punchlines when
course,
you come.
Yeah.
Because that's the tricky thing with being a comic, as opposed to, like, you know, doing music about it. You go and see Lewis Capaldi, you want to hear the songs that
of course,
you know. Yeah. Whereas you see a comic, you see them tell the same joke, you're like, "Oh, no, that's again." Exactly. Write something new.
So that's why, it's a good form of advertising for the shows. That's why it's everywhere now, TikTok and Instagram and whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a way to put content out there without burning your stuff, really. So that's why a lot of comics do it. And I think because until that. Like, you never really seen that good type point, of comedy yeah. on the telly. So it's a new thing for audiences as well. So people, and then they go. So
is that where your podcast's useful as well? Because that'd be a new, again, I don't know. 10 everybody podcasts now, 10 yes. 15 years ago, that's not maybe an avenue for
100%. I and like the good thing with the podcast is, like, you know, it's just a couple of comics and you're just sitting having a chat, and it's kind of so what you try and capture is it's kind of like just sitting with your mates doing the pub, but it's also like, you know, if you're sitting backstage in a green room with a couple of comics, like, you're kind of capturing what that's mm-hmm. like, as opposed to we going out and so people can suddenly get a wee bit of a kind of, you know, fly in the wall view into what that's mm-hmm. like as well.
We are still taking calls, and on that subject, we'll get Gavin, who's an Aberdeen fan. You can actually hear Gavin as well on the ABZ football podcast. Gavin, I'm like resisting the temptation to do that cheesy link of like Aberdeen being some sort of comedy act this season. I won't do it. I won't do it to you. But tell us your feelings on today's news.
Yeah, I mean, there's all. I think I'm still in the denial phase of the five stages of grief. highlights what a shambles this football club really is, doesn't it? I mean, we've had Dave Cormack, Alan Burrows, Luch Van Steele all telling us that we could have hired any manager, just someone to fill the role, but we needed to wait for the right man. 2 months after sacking Jimmy Tilleen, Scottish Cup's gone, we're in the bottom six. Put to one side the fact that Stephen Robinson is coaching one of the few teams in the league that are somehow worse than us. Put to one side his attritional kick and chase brand of football. This is the man we could have had in the job the day we sat Jimmy Tilleen. So here we are 2 months later, and I've never seen or heard a more unanimously unpopular appointment.
Wow, hope he's not listening. Hope none of the Robinson family are listening
driving
to that
up to Aberdeen
ringing endorsement from Gavin. What kind of annoys you more then, Gavin, if that makes sense? Is it the appointment of Stephen Robinson, or is it the way that this has come about, the process, the fact that you could have had him weeks ago? You know, what's the kind of the overriding frustration for you?
I mean, so when we sat Jimmy Tilleen, like, we on the podcast, we spoke about the number of managers who linked with the job, and even at that time when Stephen Robinson's, like, value was far higher off the back of winning the League Cup, I would have said at that time he'd be a hugely divisive appointment. At a time the club needs real unity. And as I said, you know, we've had Dave Cormack talking about how no one at the club has written off the season. We then sell a whole bunch of players. We bring in a number who are either, you know, not match fit or simply not up to the ability to play for Aberdeen. And the season, there were still things to be played for when we sat Jimmy Tilleen. The season is gone. We have written the season off. And as I say, like, Stephen Robinson is coaching a team that have won in 13 games. This is not a guy, you know, on an upward trajectory right now. And it just reeks of panic. It reeks of Jim Goodwin Mark II. And as I say, I've not seen or spoken to anyone who was in favour of this appointment.
Jeez. Can I get more resounding than that?
Yeah, listen, I think they've backed herself in a corner. It's 10, 11 weeks this weekend that Tilleen left. They've obviously exhausted several things. The season is really petered out. And I think there's a real discontent with the fan base, Gordon. So to wait to the summer, I said last week that I felt as if they brought someone in the summer, it would really have to hit the ground running, because they'd waited so long for this appointment. And as I said, that the one thing about Stephen Robinson is I think he will bring a togetherness back to the dressing room. We listened to an Aberdeen caller earlier on when he says he feels as if it was unmanageable, and he might try and get that bounce, because I know it's still 8 points, but if that gap closes within one or two games, that, you know, Kilmarnock get a win, or, you know, St Mirren, then all of a sudden Aberdeen are getting dragged right into the
you
mix.
You think you've worked with him before? You think some of that stuff Gavin says is unfair about style?
Yeah, I think we spoke about it earlier. I think Stephen Robinson, the year that Motherwell finished third, they had some good players, some good style. That was the year just before COVID, when COVID stopped the season short. He's
because there was the remind me, and or for anyone else, I remember it. But there was the kind of big physical version. There was Ryan Bowman and all that sort of stuff. And you'll remember, like, and then David Turnbull emerges. Jake Hastie was good at that point. And Alan Campbell, James
Scott, they kind of went through a cycle, and they got better and they played. And I think when he went to Morecambe, they survived 2 years in a row. He played some good football. He liked a 4-3-3, and then I think when he came back, he'd done a lot of research to what
really works in Scotland, and a team on St Mirren's budget, what helps them, and it's worked. Regardless of what kind of football it is, they've worked. They've got St Mirren fans saying that he's their favourite manager, and they don't play an attractive style of football, let's be clear here. But he can coach an attractive style, but he knows that by sacrificing the attacking football, the possession-based stuff, that gives St Mirren the best chance to win a trophy and the best chance to finish top six 3 years in a row.
Scottish football has been a good laugh. To bring it back to comedy, this season, this is going to take some beating, surely.
Aye, it's been brilliant. It's funny to talk about St Mirren, because actually, Ayunga lives across the road from me, right? And obviously just scored the goals before the cup final just before Christmas, so he never got a Christmas card off me, that's for sure.
He stayed out of his road. That'd be nothing worse. See, you're trying to escape that, and the guy that literally scores the goals lives across from you.
Aye, I know.
That's not good.
Terrible,
haven't
they?
I remember the feeling, big fella, he scored against us that night as well.
Oh, of course. Aye,
penalty.
There you go.
No.
Lundaloo.
Lundaloo. They said Ayunga.
I'm sorry, yeah.
See, they've got a lot of these big strikers.
Mandaron as well, who he scored one.
So is there none of that, Gavin? There's none of that appeals to you if they can, you know, make life really difficult for other teams? Because when it's on, it's still good. It's still, I mean, look at that. Look at the cup final performance against Celtic. I don't think Andy's bemoaning the lack of passing through the lines when they play like that.
I mean, a fair point, although we're not going to get a chance to play against Wilfred Nazi Celtic anytime
soon. That's true.
Well, I mean, again, like, this is just, it's like a microcosm of a bigger problem. Like, when Jimmy Killeen was, you know, on the brink, we bring Luke Spanasiel in, he's got a list of global contacts, and he's going to lead the charge. Luke Spanasiel has not been involved in this decision. No way whatsoever. This is Dave Cormack all over, panicking because we've allowed ourselves to get into the situation. As I say, it'll be an extremely divisive appointment, and I struggle to see how this is going to work out any other way than a year's time. He's not. The other thing is that he's never managed a club with the level of expectation as Aberdeen, and you've got all these things going on. What's happening at the club? Who's running it? It's a shambles. It's an absolute shambles, and I don't think Stephen Robinson is going to be the answer.
We will find out. Thank you very much, Gavin from the ABZ Football Podcast, who isn't a fan of the appointment, just in case that didn't cut through there, just to underline from Gavin. Right, before we go any further, let's try and give you away some nice comedy-related prizes.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
Almost certain that we're going to regret this, but let's go anyway. We are giving away tickets to Mark's show, Bread and Circuses, at the King's Theatre, Friday the 20th of March. That's not the bit we're going to regret. It's how you win the tickets. We're also going to throw in two courses and two drinks at the Duke's Umbrella on Argyle Street, and all you have to do is call up and tell Mark your best joke. Right, that's it. It's a family show. That's all I would urge you to bear in mind. You phone up, Mark's going to decide which joke is the best. You're going to need to pick one. So even if they're rotten, it needs to be the best of a bad bunch.
Okay.
And that person, that amateur comic out there, will be the winner of the prize. His decision's final, by the way. The 01419511025, same number, before the end of this break, and it's over 18s only. Don't let me down.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've got Alex Ray, Tony Watt still here, and Mark Jennings is joining us as part of our partnership with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. We're talking football with Mark as well. He's a big football fan. And this is the section of the show I'm a little bit excited about, a little bit dreading. Don't know if we'll get taken off air. Might be the last ever Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but let's give it a bash.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
Mark's show, Bread and Circuses, it's at the King's Theatre. It's on the 20th of March. That's not, when is it? Next Saturday, you said?
Next Friday.
Next Friday night, so it is. You can tell I'm rubbish at reading the calendar. But we're going to throw in tickets to that, plus two courses, two drinks at the Duke's Umbrella on Argyle Street. All you have to do is call us up and tell Mark your best joke. He'll pick the winner. His decision is final. And the lines are now closed, by the way. So thank you very much to everyone. Very popular. There's a lot of people who obviously fancy themselves out here as being able to crack a good joke. So let's see how we go. I'm worried. Caller number one is Robert in Wishaw. How's it going, Robert?
Hi, how you doing? All right.
Good, Robert. Go on, take it away.
Would have came to Frog Save when you climbed him or no?
Don't know.
Muppet.
See,
It's a great start.
It took me a minute, that one, but that's no way. That's
it's not my decision, but I think that's a good start. Sandra and Dennison, Alex Ray Country.
Oh,
Sandra,
go on, Sandra.
Take it away.
Good evening, gentlemen. Who's the nicest guy in the hospital?
Don't know, Sandra.
The ultrasound guy.
Yes, Sandra. Okay.
Oh, no.
And finally, we've got Martin in Dumbarton. Martin, give us your worst.
Okay, what Spice Girl can hold the most petrol?
Don't know.
Jerry can.
Oh, dear. Right, Mark, there's huge responsibility in your shoulders.
Oh, do you know that Jerry can one nearly got me there, but I think I'll go for Sandra with the ultrasound. That's a nice one.
You like that?
Mainly, but do you know what? My gran's in the hospital now, so I just appreciate that with you a bit more because I was in the hospital today. So let's get you, Sandra.
There we go. I think Kermit's been robbed, frankly, but it's not.
Agreed.
Kermit.
Totally agreed.
Honestly, Mark, you've done us there, but we did say Mark's decision was final.
Yeah.
Robert, wish out. I'll phone you back later. I'm going to book you for a gig. That was top. But Sandra and Dennison, well done. You're off to see Mark.
Thank you very much.
And you've got your dinner in there as well. Happy with that?
Oh, fabulous stuff. Thanks very much, gentlemen. Thank you, Mark.
There we go.
Cheers, Sandra. Stuff,
Sandra.
Absolutely.
Enjoy.
Stealing that Kermit one.
It's brilliant, isn't
it?
Good result.
Really good. It's funny because actually, are you mates with, do you all sort of know each other, would imagine, the circuit? Roscoe McClellan, he came in last year and he told one that Gordon DL loves, like, still repeats it, like, about McGill's buses, and it was Gordon loves it. So these people will leave an impression on you. See, if you hear a good joke, you remember it forever. You were also telling me at the break you've got some football related stuff coming up.
Aye, I'm doing a gig tomorrow night at Fir Park for the Well Society.
It's
a charity gig, but it's myself, Raymond Mearns and Susie McCabe are on, so I think there's still a few tickets left if anybody wants to come along to that.
And is that fine tuning material for the festival? Is that how it works?
Aye, pretty much. I'll be running out a couple of wee bits just to give it a last couple of goes out before next Friday.
What's that process like? I take it, you know, the stuff you think is really going to land, it doesn't, and then vice versa. Is that weird, that experience?
You get used to it, you know. It's a lot of trial and error goes into it. So you write the stuff, you go up, you think it's funny, and then the audience tells you otherwise sometimes, and then you need to rethink it and go again. But it's very much like football managers at the end of the game. You need to take it in the chin and move on, you know, kind of thing. So
it's a bit like that Kermit joke clearly being the funniest, but him going for something else.
but it's all personal.
Absolutely,
that's the thing. It's kind of pertinent to Martin or so. You obviously went for that choice.
What's the worst? What's the sorest experience? What's the worst gig ever? The one that keeps you up at night?
Well, do you know, I remember, like, it was my third ever gig. I'd done a couple at the stand and it went well enough, and then I went and got booked for this wee gig down in Bowling, and it was like 10 people at the back of the room. Right?
I remember going up
and just I'd done 5 minutes to silence, and it was brutal, you know. But then, it was after that, I remember thinking, like, you know, that's as bad as it gets, yep. And I'm as bad as I'm going to be. So if I'm just kind of keep at it, like, for there, I can handle the worst, and that's kind of how I've just been forward.
That's philosophical, because that's where you guys deserve all the credit. That would end me forever.
He's been heebie-jeebies thinking about it.
That would be.
Aye. I still don't know if I'd be able to take the abuse that you must get in the park, though, to be fair.
That's good abuse, though.
As I said to you, a lot of the stuff you can't hear.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
he's not going to mention his socks again, is he?
I'd struggle with that. See, if you're trying to make people laugh, like, I love the abuse, I think it's funny when you get it. But see, if you're the amount of times you tell a joke or something in a changing room environment, aye, and nobody laughs and you say, aye, good one, and you just feel. And that's
sounds
daily.
Like that's happened to you before.
It's daily. The new one, the now with the young ones, is shout. They say to you when you say something, they go shout as if that's not funny, and then
and it just cuts you down to size.
You just go,
there you go. Well, anyway, now that we've figured all that out, I'm definitely writing down that Kermit one. That was good. But you can, 20th of March, King's Theatre, come along. Bread and Circuses is Mark's show, and I think we're going to continue our partnership with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival as well. So we'll have more prizes. But really enjoyed Mark's cut. That was short and sweet, wasn't it? Feels like.
Yeah, good luck. Friday, mate.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Very quickly. And don't forget, you can also catch Mark on the Some Laugh podcast as well. And speaking to my natives here, if you want to go along to that night for the Well Society tomorrow, and fill your boots there as well. So thank you for everyone joined us on tonight's show. A very busy one. Interesting developments perhaps to come in the coming days with that Stephen Robinson St Mirren to Aberdeen story. Who knows? Maybe we will hear from the clubs in the coming days about what happened at Ibrox at the weekend. And before long, we're building up to another big weekend as well. Quickly, Mark, you're a Celtic fan. Are Celtic going to win the league?
I can't see past Hearts, to be honest, but hopefully, fingers crossed.
Jambo's getting some backing. But thanks again. We will speak to you tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.